Welcome to this edition of the Gonzo Chronicles. I'm your host, Cyrus Alderwood. You know, I thought about adding some bumper music into today's episode, but I got a CD from a pal of mine in Norfolk, Virginia, with a band called Blues Hammer. Really good stuff. Told me I could use whatever song I wanted to use on the podcast, but I haven't figured out how to do it yet, and I was going to learn to do that before I recorded this, but I thought, you know what, screw it, because I'm about to go on a rant. I'm flying solo here today. I don't have a guest. But I'm about to go on a rant that I really thought about doing 2 days ago, but I wanted to wait till I was like a little bit not so pissed off to record this. And this all stems from everything that's going on in our country right now. The virus, the reaction to the virus, public fears, the way the media is using these times to, it's just the way the media manipulates people, and leading into the way our elected officials have grossly overstepped their bounds. So some of you that hear this, some of you are going to kind of like where I'm going with this rant. I don't have any solutions to anything. That's up to you, you know. Some of you that are going to hear this are going to be pissed off because you think I'm talking directly to you, or you're just not going to like the message. We always like to hear things that validate the way we feel. And, you know, that's why we watch certain news channels. Some people that lean to the right will, you know, watch certain news like Fox News or One America News or whatever. Go to certain websites. Those who lean to the left to validate their political opinions or social opinions, whatever. You know, they may watch CNN or MSNBC or, you know, other, you know, mainstream media outlets. I've got some articles I printed off here today from some mainstream media outlets, and I've been pouring through articles. I only printed three off, but I'm just going to be kind of shooting from the hip today. My concern with everything that's going on, I'm coming to you not from a perspective of fear of the coronavirus, because I think I'm past that at this point. I'm going to talk to you about my frustration about the lack of attention people are paying to their own civil liberties during this time. And part of it was sparked by threats about busting up churches and congregations on Easter that some governors had done. Don't misunderstand me. I haven't been into a church in 20 years except maybe twice for weddings. I think both those people kind of regret those choices at this time, too. But, you know, I posted a comment up on Facebook. I always try to avoid political stuff, but there's so many people right now because of this coronavirus. They're very nervous. They're very scared. Your sleep patterns are off. People are saying this left and right on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, Instagram. Just the general anxiety is really high right now. People are losing their jobs. Their bills are piling up, and they're told they have to stay home. Now, before I'm done, I'm in one room now, but I'm going to go into my office room here at home just to, before I close the podcast down. And I'm going to pull up the website for the CDC, and I'm going to compare the deaths of corona versus the numbers of other things, to put things into perspective. So initially, probably half of you right now are thinking, what an asshole. He's belittling the deaths from corona. Absolutely not. It is a virus. It's dangerous. It's dangerous probably more to older people with underlying conditions. I get that. Hey, it makes me nervous. My mother is in her 70s. She's had lung cancer. She's had a heart attack. Yeah, she's right in the wheelhouse where if she caught something, she might not make it. I mean, it's scary, and we all are facing things like this. And I have the same anxiety about it as you do. However, when the numbers play out, you have to ask yourself, what have we done to our economy? How many jobs have we destroyed? How many lives have we upended? Small businesses that are probably going to fail now, and some medium-sized businesses too, and some big ones, but for something that's not even half of what's happened in the seasonal flu. Now, yes, this may be very contagious, a lot more contagious than the regular flu. I get that. But we as individual citizens are responsible for ourselves. And it's up to us in a free society, which I hope we still are, to make those decisions what's best for us and our families. And I think everybody understands that social distancing. Yeah, you might have, you know, some jackass here or there that does it. I hear people commenting on Facebook about how somebody's piled up behind them in the grocery aisle. Yeah, that sucks. Just tell the guy to back off, you know. Everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's washing their hands, which I don't know why people wouldn't have, why they just started washing their hands. I've been that kind of neat freak for forever. But, you know, one of the, I made a comment on Facebook that, you know, I was worried right now, I was worried about our civil liberties. And then I get somebody who's obviously frightened. Lenore Johnson was her name, and then immediately she blocked me, so I couldn't respond, you know, directly to her, like, hey, listen, yeah, it's okay. That's just obviously very afraid, and then, like, resulted immediately to insulting me, personally, about my stance, like, hey, we need to focus on these civil liberties. And, you know, and she took it probably as meaning I was being insensitive about the coronavirus. Some people are panicked to the point where they're afraid to do anything. And this might explain the person who insulted me on Facebook. That's okay. I've got thick skin. You know, she didn't hurt my feelings. But it just puts into perspective how people are feeling and how every time you turn on your favorite news source, Fox News, CNN, NBC, ABC, whatever, everything is a crisis. It's been that way since, for as long as I can remember, but especially since 9/11. Anytime something else comes around, whether it's the SARS virus, that was a crisis. Then the swine flu crisis. No one did a damn thing about swine flu. Like 12,000 people here died before anybody batted an eye. You know, and that was incredibly contagious, too. As a matter of fact, I know two people directly that had that. I know no one that has coronavirus. And thankfully, things are leveling off in the epicenter in New York. And I'm glad to see we're turning a corner. And I hope we do. Hope it continues to be great. But we have to, at some point, weigh our civil liberties against, you know, are we more afraid of a virus or are we more afraid of losing our freedom? And I printed some articles off, and this is going to piss some people off, and that's okay. If you want to tell me to piss off and, you know, stop the show, if you're incredibly sensitive, just stop now, okay? Anyway, let's start with an article. This happened out of Denver, Colorado. Well, actually, this was written by Jeffrey Cook and a couple of other writers, and this was this is on ABCNews.com. Former police officer arrested in park for throwing ball with daughter due to coronavirus social distancing rules. That's the headline. The police department has apologized for the arrest, calling it an overreach. Okay. So I just decided I'm going to read the article a little bit to find out more, because I saw the headlines on, a lot of people see a headline on social media and just go off on a tangent. And I wanted to read about this. Was this guy a jerk or something? You know, did he do something to deserve being handcuffed and arrested? I don't know. So I read the article, and I'm going to read this to you, or some of it here. Anyway, again, it's on ABC News. Don't take my word for any of this stuff. Go look it up for yourself. This is dated April 13th. In an incident caught on video, a former Colorado State Patrol trooper said he was handcuffed in front of his 6-year-old daughter on a near-empty softball field Sunday in Brighton by Brighton police officers enforcing social distancing rules. The department apologized Tuesday afternoon, calling the incident an overreach by our police officers. Matt Mooney, 33, told ABC News he walked with his wife and daughter from their home to a nearby park Sunday to play softball. We're just having a good time, not near anybody else. The next closest person is at least 15 feet away from me and my daughter at this point, Mooney told NBC News. Police arrived soon after, Mooney said, telling him and others in the area to leave because the park was closed. Mooney said he told officers that he was familiar with the posted rules and believed he and his family were in compliance and practicing proper social distancing. He said he refused to provide his identification when officers asked for it because he had not broken any law. Well, they didn't like that idea. Then they proceeded to make a threat against me saying, if you don't give us your identification, if you don't identify yourself, we're going to put you in handcuffs in front of your 6-year-old daughter. Mooney said officers handcuffed him and placed him in a patrol car for about 10 to 15 minutes while they phoned a supervisor for guidance. The incident was captured on cell phone footage by former Brighton City Councilman Kirby Wallen. Yeah, it's Sunday, and the Brighton police are apparently arresting a dad for throwing a ball to his daughter, Wallen is heard saying on the video. In a statement, Brighton Police Department said it was deeply sorry for the incident and is conducting an internal investigation. While the investigation sorts through the different versions of what took place by witnesses who were at the park, it is evident there was an overreach by our police officers, the statement said. It is imperative that we improve communications with our frontline first responders so they are up to date on the latest rules in place regarding COVID-19 for addressing public safety. Mooney, who said he's hired an attorney and is considering legal action against the city, declined to comment on the apology. The former state patrol trooper, who now runs a construction company, said officers eventually let him go without issuing a citation. Mooney said his six-year-old daughter was scared to see her father placed in handcuffs, but said she learned a valuable lesson. She's learned that our constitutional rights are something worth standing up for, Mooney said. She got to witness a violation of civil rights. She got to witness an unlawful order by the police. In addition, Mooney said, none of the officers were wearing protective gear, although he saw a face mask hanging from an officer's belt. They could very simply be asymptomatic, not even know they're sick, and now I've been exposed. My daughter's been exposed. My wife's been exposed, said Mooney. So anyway, I'll leave the rest, you know, if you want to look that article up. You know, was there cause to do something like that? No. If people, like I said, in a free society, take it upon themselves with personal responsibility to act appropriately. And if people in a park are acting appropriately, there's no reason to arrest anybody. So, yeah, does it fall on the police department or the city officials that didn't give clear guidelines? Probably. I understand these officers are just doing the job they've been sent out to do. And I've got a couple of friends who are police officers, and you know, and I'll say this. At some point, police have to understand, and you know, they're nervous and scared just like the rest of us. They have families. They don't want to pick up something and take it home, you know, get their kids sick, or their wives, or, you know, or their parents. It's something that if no one is breaking a law, why are we arresting anybody? You can put on, is it really lawful for an elected official to tell you you can't go out of your home or you can only go to Walmart and go get groceries or go to the grocery store or go get medicine or tell you where you can and can't go or what business you have to shut down when you're conducting a legal business? You know, personally, I have a nephew who just got a, you know, fresh out of barber school, got set up, hadn't been there long trying to build up clientele, out of work now. And here in Virginia, he's not eligible for unemployment, apparently. So, I mean, it's kind of, and you know, hopefully he'll repeal that, but you know, that's a personal story, but it's going on everywhere. So the next article I wanted to bring up, this is from the neighboring state of Kentucky. I'm in Virginia. So in Kentucky, over the weekend, and I know some people who just absolutely love the governor there, Andy Beshear. He's a new governor. And a lot of these governors, I will give them credit, this is kind of, we're all dealing with something new. This is new to them, too. So they're kind of flying by the seat of their pants, trying to learn as they go. And a lot of them are doing really good jobs. I'm giving everybody a hard pass on what they're doing, from the president all the way to the governors and on down. You know, this is new to them, and everybody's trying to do the best they can. I get that. But being a leader in a free society and still honoring your constitutional duties is one thing, which is important, which is vital. That's what they should be doing. But being a leader and ignoring our Constitution, our civil liberties, is entirely another matter altogether, and several leaders from the local level all the way up are violating this. Here's another article about Andy Beshear. Now, I actually printed this off of, where is this from? Actually, this might be Fox News. No, this is MSN.com. Okay, this is and then I think I found this also on USA.com, USAToday.com. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear warned Friday that any state residents attending a mass gathering, including church services, will be forced to self-quarantine for 14 days in a preemptive bid to slow the coronavirus outbreak in his state over Easter weekend. I'm going to skip down a little bit. I think we're down to 7 churches statewide that are thinking about having an in-person service, Beshear told reporters. The governor has warned that churches should switch to virtual or drive-in services to accommodate worshipers. I hear people say it's my choice, Beshear said. Well, it's not the person next to you's choice. This is the only way that we can ensure that your decision doesn't kill somebody else. I'm going to take umbrage with him there. You can go read the rest of this article on your own. This is from Microsoft News, MSN. Because if somebody's sitting in a church and somebody comes in and sits down next to them, I mean, somebody can always move and can, you know, you're 6 feet away, wear a mask, whatever. People are doing this everywhere. I've been, you know, grocery store, shopping for, you know, an elderly parent and Walmart. People are doing the social distancing and keeping their hands covered and everything like that. That's great. But if you go to a church on Easter Sunday or any Sunday, and mind you, I've not been in like 20 years, but it's your choice, and somebody that comes in to sit next to you, it's their choice too. If people show up and they're okay, comfortable sitting in a full church, that's fine. They've all made that choice. But telling people that they can't and threatening them with repercussions, like I've been done with, like we're threatening people with fines, we're threatening arrest, and we're threatening harassment in regards to Kentucky, because you just violated their civil liberties and right to worship. Now, I'm going to ask Governor Beshear, I'm going to ask Governor Northam here in Virginia, how about this governor in Michigan or even New York? You've got the balls to say all this stuff about people who are worshiping on church on Sunday. You're going after Christians on Sunday. Did you have the balls to tell the mosque that they had to shut down? Have you went after any Muslims that are still gathering and meeting too? I don't see anybody have the balls to go tell them what to do. I don't. So, you know, if you're not, you're obviously treating one group different. But I mean, if they have, I've not heard it. And maybe it's possible they've told every organization that. But, and probably, you know, I'd say a lot have. But, you know, why single out Easter weekend for this? Also in Kentucky, what they threatened to do is if you go to a parking lot service, you drive into your parking lot, turn the radio on, and listen to your preacher preaching on Easter Sunday, they are going to go there, they're going to collect everybody's license plate, and threaten you with a 14-day quarantine, mandatory, for sitting in your car listening to a sermon. Okay. I have a question for you, Governor Beshear, and anybody else who wants to take up for this guy for that particular thing. Why is it okay that I can walk into Walmart with a couple hundred people? I can walk into my grocery store, you know, 50 other people in there. It's a small grocery store. That's a lot. 50 people would be a lot, 50 to 100. I can go to the liquor store and buy liquor here in Virginia because that's apparently mandatory to keep that open because here in Virginia, the state owns the liquor stores. They get revenue. So they're not going to close that down or Planned Parenthood. But if somebody goes and sits in a parking lot for church, they're going to collect your license plates, which is harassment and kind of a veiled threat that they're going to put you in quarantine. Why am I more safe going into a Walmart or a grocery store or a liquor store than I am sitting in my own car listening to on the radio, turning the radio on and listening to the preacher that's on a platform at the end of the parking lot? Why am I being risky doing that? But it's okay for me to go walking around Walmart with 200 or 300 other people. Come on, you can't answer me that. It's asinine to even think that's the case. So, you know, if we're gonna shut that down, then why don't we just tell Walmart they can't have more than one person in at a time? Or they can have two people and they have to stay on opposite ends of the store. You know, I mean, it just makes no sense. And they're complaining, well, you have several people in the car, 2 or 3 people. Yeah, they're in your family. You live in the same house with them. I mean, you're going to start going in and like, okay, only 2 people per house now? And what are you going to do with everybody else? I mean, it's asinine, the length that these elected officials are going and blatantly ignoring our constitutional freedoms, right? So, I mean, does coronavirus mean that I have to suspend the Constitution? Does how about when the swine flu breaks out again? Does that mean I have to lose my rights during the swine flu? Or whatever the next flu is, or whatever the next pandemic or crisis that the media is going to bitch about. Here's another one. Here's another gross overreach today. And this came out over the weekend. And this is from lawenforcementtoday.com. Actually, I also found this on the Washington Examiner, but this article is a little bit shorter. I didn't kill my printer, so I printed it off, but you can find it in any place. Just Google it. The Michigan governor, it says tyranny in Michigan. Governor bans the sale of paint, plant seeds, and more at stores that are allowed to be open. And I'll go on to read a little bit of this. Stores that are allowed to operate under the present circumstances are actually barred from selling certain items deemed not essential. For example, Home Depot isn't allowed to sell paint in the store. Also, their flooring sections and garden sections have to be closed off, too. Governor Whitmer, and somebody tweets this out, Governor Whitmer, and tweeted it at the governor, has banned us from growing our own food. This is effing insane. And it's from Whatevs, too, and this is on April 10th. A Lansing resident, Brian Tillery, ventured into his local Home Depot on April 10th and noticed signage and caution tape prohibiting people from picking up paint. This is a forced move due to Gretchen Whitmer's updated stay-at-home order that states individuals may leave the home or place of residence to purchase groceries, takeout food, gasoline, needed medical supplies, and any other products necessary to maintain the safety, sanitation, and basic operation of their residences. All right, that's you know what's scariest in that language? The fact that it says individuals may leave their home. When does any politician have the right to tell me that I can't leave my home? This is a gross overreach of everyone's civil liberties. Now, granted, there's a coronavirus, and people have willingly stayed home and minimized their going out and, you know, stocked up and stored up and help, you know, helping neighbors, and I love seeing that. A lot of people have kind of pitched in and helped each other. That's a beautiful thing to see. But what right does any politician, elected official, tell us what we can and can't do? You need to remember, like, if you're younger and think this is okay, then I blame the public school system. I blame my generation for not being more forceful in teaching proper history and civics and our Constitution. Because they're not the boss of us. We are the boss of them. And they have flipped that script, and it's made it so normal that people have accepted it. And I noticed from just a couple of comments that I've made that people have gone apeshit. And it was nothing terribly controversial. I understand this is a horrible virus, and I don't want people to get sick. I want people to be smart, and let's beat this thing. But we have to have a country to come back to, and we have to have our rights. So when you hear people talking about opening the economy and worrying about your rights, they're looking out for you as much as they are themselves. So think about that. When you immediately dismiss somebody or call them stupid or whatever slur you want to throw at them, they're talking about your civil rights too. Because sometimes somebody's going to come along and want to take those away, and you better hope somebody else is there to stand up for you, with you. All right, so, yeah, the governor has had a horrible overreach. Now, that's not the worst thing about, you know, they may leave their home. One of the things that they've done that's pissed everybody off, if you want to be in these times a little more self-sufficient, which I think we're all kind of learning, hey, that we probably should, a lot of people want to take up gardens of their own, grow some of their own food, so they don't have to worry about going to the store, maybe not finding things. Because I don't know about your grocery store, but I went this afternoon to pick up some things for a parent. And yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's not just toilet paper and paper towels that's missing. Half the dairy stuff is gone. There's a low supply on meat. So many things where the shelves are kind of empty. You know, cases of water. Maybe you got plenty of it where you're at, but in some places they don't. And when people see that in their mind, they're thinking, wow. I saw a comment the other day on Twitter. This was just yesterday, actually. Somebody said they couldn't find a damn carton of eggs anywhere in North Carolina. Well, yeah, and we see dairy having to get rid of so much product, these dairy farmers, because the restaurants are not open and using what they're normally selling, and they're losing money. And hopefully they don't lose their farms, because we need them when things go back to normal. And they will. Maybe a new normal, hopefully a better normal. I mean, that's up to us. That's up to you and me and everyone listening. But the worst thing about it is the governor of Michigan said that all those garden seeds that you want to buy, that's non-essential. So when people are going in to buy things to plant their gardens and be self-sufficient, they're told they can't be because the governor's decided you can't be. The governor has decided you can't go and grow tomatoes for yourself. You can't grow green beans for yourself, onions, peppers. You can't grow your own herbs and spices. The governor has decided that your food supply has to be whatever they can ship in from big corporations that probably donate a shitload to their campaigns. Let's face it. Some people are going to get rich out of this, richer, let's put it that way, while the rest of us get a $1,200 check that, hell, that don't pay half a month's bills. No, they don't care. You know, he's elected official. They don't care. I've come to accept that a long time ago. Corruption, these people are bought and paid for. And this coronavirus, in my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, some of these people that are elected, like here in Virginia, and in Michigan, Nevada, this is a test run for tyranny. They're seeing how much people will bend over and take it in the backside that they can get away with, And next time they'll bend and push a little bit more. They always do. We remember the financial crisis of 08 and 09. Yeah, a lot of people got rich, didn't they, out of that. And then who paid the bills? The rest of us. So keep that in mind when you look at your elected officials like, oh, they're great, and I trust everything they do. Man, you question everything. And if somebody calls you a conspiracy theorist for it, tell them to pound sand. Because that's just another way of saying you're a critical thinker. You're not afraid to ask questions. I'm not afraid to ask why these people are not allowing you to be self-sufficient in Michigan, in the case of the governor. And here in Virginia, when they're talking about making everything normal, our governor put a stay-at-home order out until June 10th. June 10th. Ordering businesses to stay shut till then. We're not going to have any businesses to go back to in my little town. Half of these are going to go under. But you know what the funny thing was? On June 10th, that opens back up and people can kind of go back out and do kind of go back to normal on June 10th. You know what was scheduled to happen on June 9th? Our governor here in Virginia, yeah, you know him, Governor Northam, the guy who was controversial because he wouldn't say which he was wearing. Was he the guy in blackface or the guy wearing the Klan outfit? Yeah, he's that guy. He's that asshole. That's what we have here in Virginia. So he waited till Easter weekend to do controversial written orders, like executive orders. But also he made June 10th the day to open back up. June 9th was the scheduled date for the Virginia primary for the Republican Party. Now, don't think he picked that. Now, he's a smart guy. I'm not saying he's a dummy at all, by no means. He knows exactly what he's doing. So he set June 10th as a date to open everything up, knowing that June 9th was the scheduled date for the Republican primary so that Republicans can determine who's going to run their candidates against the Democrats. So, yeah, smooth move there, Governor. Well played. But then everybody kind of realized that about a week later and raised so much hell about it, he finally came out and said, yeah, okay, we'll reschedule the Republican primary till the 23rd. I didn't know a Democrat governor could reschedule a primary for the Republican Party. I thought that was up to the Republican Party of Virginia, but apparently they don't have much of a backbone to stand up for themselves, which is another thing. Yeah. So when people say I'm partisan or whatever, hell no. Don't care much for either one of them. Never did. I'm going to take a sip of water here. And I'm going to get up and go into a different room. Because I'm going to pull up a couple of tweets I want you guys to read. And actually, I got permission from somebody to read a post that he made on Facebook. And I see a lot of people feeling this way. And then I'm going to jump onto the CDC's website. And then I'm going to shut up and let you get on with your day. Because I'm sure you got better things to do than rant. And if you have any thoughts on this and you want to share it, feel free to touch base with me. Cyrus.Alderwood@gmail.com. If you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm right, hey, at least we can do is try to be nice to each other, right? So leave me some comments, and I may read them on an upcoming episode. Hopefully the next episode will be a little bit more lighthearted. I've got a couple of folks that hopefully will be coming on as guests here pretty soon. And bear with me, my computer is slow as hell, so I have to sign back on. And, all right, the first thing I want to do, I'm going to read a tweet that went out. This was just a little bit ago. I saw this about Dr. Fauci, the one everyone's saying, hey, we got to listen to this guy. My gut's telling me something about that guy I just don't like. By the way, I did do a little ding on something. I'm going to give you a little info on Fauci, something he did over the weekend. And I'm sure the people at Good Morning America are not going to be happy about this. They're probably not happy about this. So somebody leaves a comment. Diane Boyd on Twitter leaves this comment. So Fauci is trying to defend himself by stating that he got faulty information from China. Well, we all know that. And he went on TV and was not concerned about the virus in January. And then again, February 29th, said Americans had nothing to worry about. And that's when the president shut down China travel, and he was saying that we had nothing to worry about. Now, below that, she posted a video from a news organization here. So you do your own research, go YouTube this stuff, whatever you want to do. Something about Dr. Fauci I thought was quite interesting. And I'm going by memory, so again, don't take anything I say for granted. Go look it up, do your own research. And then I want to tell you something as I kind of close this up that's probably going to piss you off. But I'm going to say it anyway because it needs to be said, and people need to realize this en masse, because people are starting to wake up the longer this thing drags on, and that's a good thing. Dr. Fauci was on Al Sharpton's show, and when I think there was a question when Sharpton had asked him that when did they know that the virus was here, and he said they had kind of assumed that it was here in early to mid-January and already embedded into the community in mid-January in California. Now, California, even though it's a big populated state, has not had nearly the problems that New York has had. And maybe there are reasons for that. I think one reason people are talking about this, what's the catchword for it? Herd immunity. So maybe go look that up, do some research. I'm not a doctor. I couldn't tell you know, one way or another. So that, and then after that he went on Good Morning America. Or maybe he went on Good Morning America first. And then made comments that it was not embedded into the community. We had to extend this deadline, you know, extend these lockdowns and keep people in, keep the economy closed longer, and, you know, to keep it from getting into the community and getting embedded in the community. And then goes on Sharpton's show and says the exact opposite. He knew. So go look that up yourself. Don't take my word for it. Apparently this guy's got everybody's trust. But I don't know, man, something in my gut just doesn't. And I know he's deeply connected, him and Dr. Birx, with Bill Gates. And the longer this goes on, then, you know, the better chance Bill Gates' society or foundation can develop some sort of vaccine for this. And they'll make billions off of it. And I wonder how much these doctors that are involved in these foundations with them will get, too. So maybe, I don't know, do they have anything to gain from it? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But I don't trust much from Bill Gates when it comes to a vaccine, because this guy's actually been on record stating about how overpopulated the world was and we needed to pare back the population. So a guy that thinks we need to, like, cut out, like, literally get rid of half the world's population suddenly now wants to give me a virus to save my life. I don't buy it. I think many of you have heard the same thing as sentiments on social media. So, you know, again, do some research on these people. Find out who they are and what their involvement is and what they stand to gain. Here's the comment by Cherie White, and this is on Facebook, and hopefully she don't mind me using her name. Well, it's public, so, says, I smell a rat, and I've smelled it since day one. Could it be that they are trying to slip socialism in here? And the virus, although real, is just a cover for it. taking advantage of this virus? It's just the thought that crossed my mind, coupled with the feeling in my gut, and I always listen to my gut. I'll bet it crossed yours as well. Something's fishy about all this. That's all I'm saying. And people are like, oh, what a nut, conspiracy theorist. No, she's asking legitimate questions. And if you don't question everything, then you honestly, I don't think you value your liberty or even understand what your liberty is. And it sparked quite a conversation. I'm not gonna kid you. She posted that up and it sparked quite a conversation. The last time I posted something like that up, I got insulted all to hell. Now, I did contact the guy. Actually, he had such a powerful post. I emailed him. And I said, dude, do you mind if I, on my next podcast, read this? And he said, yeah, it's okay. So let me pull that up. And his name's Brian McCarthy. So thank you, Brian, for letting me read this. So he emailed, he just copies and pastes the email, the post, and emails it to me, so I have it here easily. And it's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read it. And there's a lot of people thinking this way, folks. And so don't belittle this train of thought. People are questioning things, and that's good. And then when I'm done here, I'm going to go to the CDC's website, and I'm going to compare how many deaths we've had from different types of things. And, you know, take it for what it is. I mean, there are a lot of things. You know, I hate people are dying from corona. I do. It's sad. People are losing husbands and fathers and mothers and daughters and children and parents. It's like, that's heart-wrenching, man. You know, I've lost somebody, you know, lost my dad about 3 years ago to COPD. And I'm glad he's not alive to see these times. And that's painful to say. But it's true. He would be the first person gone from this, as bad a shape as he was in at the end. And but is somebody that dies from corona, I mean, is it any more heartbreaking than somebody that dies from cancer? Or somebody in a car accident or suicide? So we have to weigh these other diseases, you know, and just for perspective, not to belittle it, not to insult it, but for perspective. So Brian McCarthy, let me go ahead and read what he says here. He says, the math doesn't lie. Why the quarantine is worse than the disease. Okay, friends, let's do a little math here for those who still don't get it and see just how in danger we are from COVID. And I'm not doing the math. If you're listening, you do the math if you feel like it. But I'm going to read what he's got here. If we go by the official statistics, 1.5 people out of 7,800 have gotten the virus or are sick with it. That's 1.5 million out of 7,800 million or 7.8 billion. Okay. So that's about 1 in 5,000 people have the virus or 0.02%. Now, the virus has an average kill rate of anywhere from 1 to 6%. So let's say 3% on average, or 1 in 33, 0.3%. So the death rate / amount of people who have died so far is 0.3% of 0.02%. And for that, we close the world down. Look, to all of you who are so scared and fell for this ruse, I understand why you're afraid. You watch TV and you got fooled again by the people who always lie. But seriously, how many more facts do I have to throw at you before you see how badly you're being effed right now? I'll not say the F word. I don't know why, but I'm just not going to. Of course, not everyone is being effed over by this. Let's see what the uber wealthy are gaining from this. Number one, trillions in bailouts for them, pennies for us. Yeah, Brian's right. Number two, trillions in lost revenue. Many small businesses on the brink of bankruptcy, and a few big ones too, with the super big corporations and financiers set up to buy and consolidate more of the market with the bailout money. Number three, rapid installation of 5G towers and smart meters going on at this very moment, something that many people are not in favor of, and with good reason. Number four, mandatory vaccination being pushed by men who think there are too many people in this world like Bill Gates and Ezekiel Emanuel and probably many others. They'll make billions off this as they want to get this done worldwide. Number five, all the fear and depression and damage this is causing, unessential workers, he puts in quotes, many of whom are becoming more desperate by the day as they sit home, wondering how they will pay their bills when they can go back to work. And all this for 0.3% of 0.02% of the world dying. Think about it. Take all the time you need and tell me your response has been proportionate and that there isn't something horribly wrong. This is the new normal? I think not. There's nothing normal about this. This is an epic power grab by a power and a power play, all being done under the guise of a pandemic that so far has killed far less people than so many other ailments and diseases during the same period of time. It's time for this lie to end. We need to start defying this quarantine en masse. We need to stop doing the bidding of the people who orchestrated this bullshit. Stop telling people to stay inside. Stop believing this is the new normal. Take those ridiculous masks off and stop being afraid of something that's far less likely to kill you than any of the many other things we face every day, like driving a car. Are you willing to go broke and watch the world's economy go down tubes for 0.3% of 0.02% risk of dying? Come on. I thought we were the land of the free and the home of the brave. More like the land of the chumps, scared of anything the man or woman on TV tells us. Are we this cowardly, really? And that's what Brian McCarthy had posted. And there's some merit to what he has to say. And I'm sure he rattled some cages. I didn't go reading through the whole thread. I read some of it. And, you know, there was some, you know, kudos for him. There were some that didn't like what he had to say. Kind of like what some of you are not going to like what I'm saying here. But we have to balance our civil liberties with the danger. And from my point of view, yeah, I'm going to be safe. I'm not going to be risky. I'm not going to be crowding anybody's space. I'm smart about this. We all are. We've had it drummed into our heads, panic, fear, 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 24/7, 7 days a week since this started from the mainstream media, every damn outlet. So I understand when people are freaked out and afraid and thinking I'm a horrible person if I want to go out and buy something that's not essential. Well, who the hell are they to tell me what's essential to me or not? Apparently the governor in Michigan thinks they're a demigod because they're telling people you can't be self-sufficient by buying your own seeds and growing your own garden and having your own food. That's how power-hungry these people are. And when they're breaking the Constitution and assaulting your civil liberties, they're showing you who they are. Believe them. That's who they are. You know, and it's just, you know, there was a quote, and I can't think of who said this. It was probably one of our founders. It was a famous quote, but I'm going to paraphrase. It says, when our officials pass laws against you that they don't have to abide by themselves, you don't live in a free society, you live in tyranny. They are tyrants. And just, I can't remember, I was looking for the article before I started recording this. I could not find it. Somebody posted it up on Twitter where a mayor of a city had shut down all the salons and hairstyles and made a specific point to tell people, you know, women, don't go out and get your hair done. This is not essential. And then calls her personal stylist to open up her shop so she can go and get her hair done after that. The law applies to you, not to them. You get $1,200 that won't pay for anything, hardly. And there's a lot of people that's going to get rich off this. Damn well bet you Bill Gates makes a lot of money off of a vaccine if he comes up with one. And the audacity of a couple of governors to outlaw that hydroxychloroquine that Trump had mentioned just because they hate the guy. That should be between your doctor. They literally banned anybody in their state from prescribing that medicine to any patient that had this. That governor is not a doctor. That governor is a power-hungry man. Tyranny is at foot. People are showing you who they are, so I suggest you believe them. That's one thing I'm going to say. The other thing, I'm going to go to the CDC's website right now. And I think this is at cdc.gov. And I'll see if this shows me what I'm looking for. Because I'm trying to find the statistics of how many people have died of corona. And I'm not finding it. I'm sure it's on here somewhere. Let me just go to Yahoo and do a search, or Google and do a search, and it'll probably direct me right back to the CDC's website. And I'm going to do a search of how many people have died from COVID versus the flu. It'd be nice if I spell flu properly. I write books too. 3 days ago, here's a headline from Wall Street Journal. Why doesn't the flu take the economy like COVID? All right, here's COVID weekly summary. I know we're up to probably about 22,000 deaths and probably 5,500 people. Or 550,000 people, a little over, have had this. So I'm going to go with that number because that's what I saw on television earlier. And I'll say how many have died from the flu this year. Okay. Oh, here we go. And it directs me right back to the CDC. Okay, on the CDC's website, CDC estimates that from October 1st, 2019 through April 4th, 2020, there have been between 39 million and 56 million flu illnesses. Between 410,000 and 740,000 flu hospitalizations. Between 18 million and 26 million flu medical visits. And between 24,000 and 62,000 flu deaths. Now, that's actually a big number. That's a wide number. I did read somewhere that it was somewhere along 56,000 flu deaths or somewhere roughly there. You can do some web search. You'll find different numbers depending on who's writing the article. But I've heard somewhere in the mid-50,000 range is roughly how many have died this season between October 1st and here in April from the flu. And now it's horrible how many we've lost to corona, but the flu killed twice as many. It's hard to fathom that we didn't shut down the flu for that, or the economy for that. How many died from, let's see, how many died from cancer this year? I wish I would have saved a website from a couple of weeks ago. It had all these different statistics on it. It listed all the different diseases that people died from. Wow, 8.2 million worldwide. That's sad. That's a lot of death. You know, and both my parents have had cancer in the past. It happens, folks. But when somebody starts talking about your civil liberties and trying to protect them, you know, stand up for yourself, too. You don't have to blindly listen to your governor or your local official and say, yes, 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 we're all going to stay in. And if I see somebody out, I'm calling the cops. I'm going to be a snitch. If you haven't read George Orwell's 1984, man, that's what it is. It's exactly what it is. And I asked a question the other day on Twitter about how you get people to wake up and think about their civil liberties during this time. And the answer is not what I wanted, but it's probably the correct answer. And I've noticed this. People are starting to stick out like a sore thumb. There's a big rift between how people are looking at this. There's some people who are going to stand up for liberty because liberty is important. I'd much rather face any virus than lose my freedom. And I will pay any price, even if it means defending your freedom, whether you're willing to do it or not. So there are two kinds of citizens I'm seeing during this. There's a lot of them in the middle that are kind of questioning. You know, they're starting to wake up. A lot of people are waking up. You'd be surprised how many people are waking up. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you comfortable being a subject? Or do you insist on being a citizen? Because there's a damn big difference between the two. And I'm not going to be anybody's subject. So if I want to go to any particular store that's closed right now, and they open up, I want to go get a haircut, that guy's willing to give me one, and the next person that's willing to go in and get one, you got to make your own decisions. Yeah, I might wear a mask, put some gloves on, hope you do the same. If he didn't, I'd probably think twice and go to another barber, you know? But he's doing a business that's legal. And there's nobody that should tell that guy or gal that they can't do business when they're not breaking the law. And no cop should be in there arresting people who are not breaking the law just because you have a, you know, somebody who leans a little bit toward power hungry and a little bit toward tyranny, whether they want to admit it or not. People who support those people, that's what they're doing. You got to think about it. And it's okay. I mean, we've all voted for people. I've voted for people I've regretted in the past. And I'm sure we all probably have. And especially at the local level, when you see people that are not qualified and you think they are. And, you know, and see in times like this, you know, Rahm Emanuel, who was one of the leaders, in the Obama administration, went on to become the Chicago mayor. Had a popular phrase, man, everybody heard it, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, they're pushing the boundaries of how far they can go and taking civil liberties. So think twice about it, folks. That's my message. That's my question to you. Do you value your liberty? Do you value your freedom? Are you willing to sit by and let elected officials tell you you can't do things when you damn well have every right? I'm not saying be stupid about things during a pandemic. But there's a balance between freedom and this. And they sure as hell don't know what it is, because most of them never bothered to give a shit about the Constitution in the first place. So are you a citizen or are you a subject? And people on social media that are subjects are sticking out like sore thumbs right now. They're like scared rabbits, afraid to do anything, and hate anybody that doesn't believe, you know, that defies their narrative. And it's sad. Sad. We're Americans. And you know what? We're human. The human spirit is bigger than this, bolder than this. Be courageous. Protect your freedoms. Because next time another pandemic like this comes along, and it will, we might have people that are a lot worse than this in place, and they damn well may step in and take your freedom if you give them half an inch to even do so. So think about it. Be pissed at me or not, whatever. Man, this is a long episode of me going on a rant. But I had to do it. And thanks to the folks who let me read their comments online. Certainly appreciate it. This is Cyrus Alderwood for the Gonzo Chronicles. We'll have a better episode next time, more upbeat, something more fun. Maybe we'll talk about the top 10 horror movies of all time. Heidi Gann's supposed to come back on, so we're going to have a rant with her. Anyway, stay positive, folks. Better times are ahead, I promise. Take care.